Hello everyone, and thanks for joining. My name is Sergey, and I'm a software engineer at Meta. For several years, I'm working on Kotlin adoption and Kotlin infrastructure. Today, we'll talk about data classes in Kotlin. We will investigate the data class size overhead and the ways to minimize it. We'll observe the general ways to optimize Android Dev's code and focus on data class generate, a Kotlin-specific optimization. It is a usual thing to create classes which main purpose is to hold data. In such classes, some standard functionality and some utility functions are often derivable from the data. Kotlin uses a data keyword for such classes. So let's first try to understand what is the cost of data. Our main suspect today is a data class DC. A typical Kotlin data class with three fields, an integer, a nullable string, and any. We want to compare DC with a regular class RC with the same list of fields. RC will not get anything from compiler, but DC will benefit from all data classes code generation. Let's compile both classes and check the size of the bytecode and dexcode files. We'll use Kotlin 1.6 compiler and the latest D8 dexer. A regular class declaration will cost us 1.3 kilobytes in bytecode and a similar number in dexcode. We spend these bytes on class header, init method, properties with accessors, and Kotlin metadata. It's a lot, but we will use all things in our project. And what about data class? A data class DC will cost us two times more, 2.9 kilobytes. Let's have a look what contributes to this overhead. Similar to a regular class, data class will have an init method, properties with accessors, and metadata. But they will also have a bunch of generated methods on top. Multiple component N methods for destructuring declarations, two copy functions, a toString method, and finally, equals and hashcode. Yes, data class is a package deal, but do we always need to pay? Let's refresh the way we get a production-ready Android app from sources. It will help us to understand the ways to apply data class optimization later. It all starts with Kotlin sources and Java sources and a couple of resources in your app. Then you pass everything to either a Kotlin compiler or a Java compiler. As a result, you're getting a bunch of class files or jars. These jars are executable in a Java virtual machine, but to run them on Android, you need to process them specifically with dexers. It's either DX or D8 to make it possible. Then you most likely have a shippable application, but should we deliver it straightforward to our users? In the most cases, their answer is no. What we want to do is a couple of optimization to make our application as tiny as it is possible. R8, Redux, and ProGuard are the optimizers that are suitable for this case. Right after the application of these optimizers, we are finally getting an APK we are ready to ship. What is the best one in a concrete case? Unfortunately, there is no good answer here. I recommend to treat them as black boxes. Try the one which has the easiest integration with your build tool first. All right, now we understand where the majority of Android optimization happen. Let's move on and apply two of them to some code samples. These optimizations are available in all three optimizers. We inherited this optimization from Java, as Kotlin JVM semantically is very close to Java, and optimizers shrink Android Java even before Kotlin. Let's have a look at this code sample. We have a data class DC. We have a var function which creates a DC new object. And finally, we have a function foo which has a call to var method and the property I then. Let's imagine it is the whole context we have in our code and think what kind of optimizations we can apply. Var function returns an effectively final object, thus we can align it inside foo. Right after this inlining happened, we no longer have calls to var, and we can remove it as something unreachable or a dead code inside our application. Going further with optimizations, inside function foo, we allocate an object and then we just use its property, but we don't have any other calls to data class. As a result, we can just replace the call to the property right with the 42 using the inlining. After inlining, we don't have any other calls to the data class DC, and as a result, we can remove it as something unreachable in our code. We applied multiple optimization and finally got the function foo that only returns 42. We learned a few optimizations: method inlining, dead code elimination, remove unreachable. Let's apply them to the data class. Again, here is a list of data classes methods. Init, a bunch of getters, decomposition methods, copy, toString equals, and hashcode. We use some of these methods in our app, but we don't use the others. It is possible to apply optimizations based on the use cases. First things first, let's cope with the annoying getters. In most cases, it is possible just to inline the getters with the inlining path, which is available in R8 and Redux. Then, destructuring method, component 1 to component 3. Again, if we do have a use case for destructuring, we can do inlining everywhere, the same as with getters. But if we don't use destructuring, it is possible to use a dead code elimination pass and completely remove this method from the C data class with the dead code elimination pass. Then the same story is with copying of data classes. If we do have a use case, it is possible to inline the method copy body, but if not, we can use the dead code elimination pass from R8 and Redux. All this optimization might save us up to 900 bytes for data class DC, or about 60% of its overhead. We already optimized a lot of methods. However, toString, equals, and hashcode are much more complicated in analysis. It's not possible to verify whether we have calls to these methods or not, as all of them override object classes methods. Let's have a look at the generated toString method. It requires 45 16-bit instructions. But do we need this declaration in production code? In many cases, the answer is no. To address the remaining issues in data classes, we created a Kotlin compiler plugin-based optimization called Data Class Generate, or simply DCG. DCG brings data class app size contribution on par with semantically identical plain Java objects. Data Class Generate is not yet open source. Let me know if you're interested. My DMs are open on Twitter. Data Class Generate annotation suggests DCG Kotlin compiler plugin how to generate bytecode for data classes methods. Data Class Generate annotation is applicable only to Kotlin data classes and will not make any change if applied to a regular class. Unfortunately, Kotlin doesn't have a data class as an annotation target. The annotation, together with applied Data Class Generate compiler plugin, does three things. First, it configures code generation of toString method. Mode keep will generate toString as an unusual data class. Mode omit will not generate toString for an annotated data class. Second thing, it configures code generation of equals and hashcode methods together in a similar way. And finally, data class generate keeps several data classes invariants, like a superclass, that allow readers to make more aggressive optimizations. Let's have a look at DCG annotation declaration. It's super important to choose right default behavior for annotation parameters. In the majority of cases, users introduce data classes when they need hashcode and equals methods. So, equal hashcode parameter defaults to keep. We started DCG integration when we already had data classes in a code base. Legacy keep mode is a special one. It works the same as keep to provide backward compatibility for data classes that were created prior to data class generate. It's hard to show the precise DCG bytecode generation in just one slide, but here is a very simplified equivalent declaration. We have a data class DC as before. We don't need a DC's toString method in our app, so we annotate DC with data class generate with a toString mode omit. Kotlin compiler will still generate a toString method for us, but now it will just call the superclass method. Overall, this hack saves about 300 bytes or 20% of data class overhead. If we don't need a DC's equals and hashcode methods in our app, we annotate the class with data class generate and set equal hashcode parameter to mode omit. Similar to toString case, compiler will delegate the calls to superclass. This hack saves about 200 bytes or 13% of the data class overhead. To sum up, here is how data class generate looks inside the Android pipeline. It has an annotation that is placed on data classes in the source code. It attaches a DCG compiler plugin to the Kotlin compiler. and it adds some elements to the optimizer, like passes. We observed the DCG annotation and DevEx changes. Let's have a look at the implementation details. We are going to change the semantic of Kotlin code based on the declared intent to generate method. To make it possible, we need changes in Kotlin compiler plus code generators. Kotlin compiler has a number of extension points. They are not a part of stable API and not documented. Use them at your own risk. There are a few good extension points that allow to change Kotlin C classes. We are going to implement the class builder interface. It requires over 10 methods, but we'll focus on two most important ones. Define class is an entry point for a class generation. It should be called once for each class we are trying to build. You can use it to rename class, change a superclass, or even create a class builder context. Note, class builders should be as stateless and immutable as it's possible. New method, on the other hand, is an entry point for each method generation. It allows to do whatever you want with the method bytecode, if JVM spec and bytecode verify is happy. Surprisingly, in some cases, the verifier might be happy, but Android app will crash. But it's a different story. Let's have a closer look at the define class method. DCG needs to support a few things in it. First of all, detect if declaration is a data class. Set up bytecode generation based on the mode of DCG compiler plugin, in case we want to disable it, for example. Define the behavior of synthetic classes. Their metadata might look like a data class in several cases, especially if they are generated. Check if DCG is compatible with the other attached plugins, like Parcelize or Compose. Define class should verify that data class generate annotation is correct, especially if we have handwritten method in a data class. And finally, define class should generate actionable errors if something goes wrong. In a new method override, we operate on the method body level. We already resolved DCG compiler plugin mode and verify that it's possible to apply the semantic changes. New method implementation should be stateless. It has all the AST context of the data class. If DCG is applicable to the method, we should redefine a method visitor. Method visitor is responsible for methods bytecode generation. In our case, we recreate the whole method body, but it's also possible to change instruction by type, for example, removing all check not nulls or changing a type of invoke instructions. In our case, we load in object first, then calling invoke special, and then returning a value. We implemented a custom class builder. Now we should register it properly to intercept the usual path of Kotlin class generation. We set up a data class generate builder with a plugin mode to enable different strategies. We need Kotlin component registrar to process this extension and command line processor to configure DCG based on the command line arguments we passed. Finally, data class generate can operate in several plugin modes. Each of them is good for its own reasons. First of all, explicit one is the mode where plugin applies only to data classes annotated with data class generate. It's a good mode to start adopting data class generate in an application. The next mode is strict. It works exactly as an explicit, but plugin will report a compilation error whenever it sees a data class without data class generate annotation. And the last one is implicit. If you feel like an extra data class generate annotation is too much in your app, you can treat all data classes as they are already annotated with data class generate. It's time to do an outline. In this talk, we quantified an overhead of Kotlin data classes. Then we applied general purpose optimization to the data classes. And finally, we introduced data class generate, our approach for Kotlin specific optimization, and investigated how it is implemented. Thanks a lot, and questions are very welcome.
Now we have several questions, and I invite people to ask more and plus one them. We have some minutes to answer them, and also there will be the informal Q&A afterwards if you want to follow over. So let's jump straight into them. The first one is, when is DCG going to be open sourced?
Well, it's a good question. It really depends on the community interest for now. So internally, we are getting all the benefits at the moment from DCG already. And it's the matter of just taking it as is and putting to the open source and delivering the Gradle pipeline for the DCG. So I already mentioned it. Feel free to pin me in Twitter DMs if you're interested in it. But to give some numbers, it's probably several months to six, probably.
Awesome. So we are all looking forward to that. The second question is, what is your go-to tool to analyze a class bytecode? Are you using the bytecode decompiler inside IntelliJ or an external tool?
I'm usually working with both bytecode and Dexcode. Unfortunately, I don't know any good tools in IntelliJ to work with the Dexcode. The Kotlin bytecode, it's like just beautiful to see it inside the IDE. Like, as long as you see it and observe it as a bytecode, not just interpreting it as Kotlin code or Java code back. So it's perfect. You don't need anything. But for myself, I'm using a set of scripts. You might know the online tool called Godbolt. It's the way to compile or decompile several like code snippets from C++ using Clang or LLVM or some other compiler versions or anything. So internally, we have something similar when you can choose between different Kotlin levels. So time to time, I'm still checking Kotlin 1.2 to see how it was at that time. And yeah, some history lessons. But yeah, it should be not that difficult to observe everything with the bunch of shell scripts and probably a diff tool on top.
Awesome. So maybe we can actually link some of those tools that you mentioned in the dev room chat so people later can follow over.
Yep.
Next question is, what are some of the performance winnings of data class optimization at scale? I believe you mentioned a little bit about it, but for people that came late to the talk, are they like, what's the summary of doing this kind of optimizations?
TLDR for the performance winning is to make data classes on par with the plain old Java object, modular the methods you're actually using from data classes. So it's like the C++ slogan, like pay for what you use, but in Kotlin. So yeah, if we are talking about the wins from DCG specifically, it's about 20% for ToString, as far as I remember, and a bit less for Hashcode and Apricot. But on top of this, we with the DCG, we apply a bit more optimizations. So it both based on the fact that data classes are almost every time final. So we can do some magic like making them all together, merging them as the one instance, and then let's say using the switch statement defining what method we can call inside. So it's slightly better than just plain old Java object, as you can determine this merging strategy from them.
Awesome. So still on the performance side, the next question is asking how much compile time overhead does DCG produce?
All right. DCG uses the almost the same API that Kotlin uses for data class generation itself. So it's under the hood the visitors for methods. So what's different there than for data classes, the plain data classes in Kotlin, you're using one sort of method visitor and the class visitor itself. For DCG, you're using just another. So it's comparable. In our test, we didn't see anything which is more than 0.1% different in processing time.
Awesome. So I think we are nearly done with the questions publicly. Do you have any other topic that you want to touch? Otherwise, I have another question for you.
No, the like force them speaker notes explicitly mentioned that you shouldn't talk about weather. So I will probably skip this part and pass it back to you.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. I actually wanted to ask you, like, what are the interactions with the new Kotlin compiler? Like, have you, like, what are the forecasts for this tool with the new Kotlin compiler?
Like, the new Kotlin compiler, you mean the K2? So
yeah,
it's K2. More about the front end. Mm-hmm. So we are safe modifying these visitors. However, we are really looking forward to see the fixed API for Kotlin compiler plugin. So this is where compiler can really, really improve to like be set it as in Java compiler API, set in strict GSR, so we can rely on the thing that probably will not change, or at least we will be happy for them to be in as a part of public compiler API for a while.
Awesome. So we will be cut. So-